Thanks to whoever gave out 118. I know not many of you knew it here, but it's become precious to me recently. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like to talk about him. I'd like to talk specifically, well, all of our meetings today have been about Jesus Christ, but specifically about him. And I don't know if you pay attention to the way headlines or the little headings in on whatever web page you might go to, but they tend to try to grab your attention by something that kind of makes you stop and think. So I'd like to do that to you tonight, hopefully in a right way, and hopefully it will make you think about something, a subject that's very, very basic to all of you, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it's put in a certain way, sometimes it gives us a chance to think about it in a different way. While you're turning to Mark chapter 6, if you look at it, just mentioned that a little word of caution to maybe not click on everything you might see on a web page. We trust that tonight's subject will be presented in a right way and will be good for us. I guess I will call my thought tonight, Seven Outrageous Claims of Jesus Christ. Or as the heading might have been back then, a carpenter makes outrageous claims. In his day, it caused an outrage. And even today, some of these things to some people are outrageous. But from the viewpoint of Mark chapter 6, we'll read the first three verses about Jesus. He went out from thence, came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these sayings? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. It caused offense. His claim, the way he taught, caused offense because they viewed him as the carpenter. It's the viewpoint, isn't it, that makes all the difference. Let's go to the viewpoint we must have if we're to agree with these claims of the Lord Jesus. So the first claim then was the claim of Jesus to be the Son of God. That's the basis of either the acceptance or the rejection of everything he said and everything he did. You can get that in several places. Let's turn to John 5, the Gospel of John. And it's not surprising, perhaps, that the Gospel of John will contain most of the statements that I tried to bring out to you tonight, just very briefly. And as I say, they're all things that you know. But we're in a world that either is violently antagonistic to the Lord Jesus and still is outraged at his claims, or tries to ignore them and make him, as some religions do, a prophet. But that doesn't line up with these claims, or even a good man, just a man. It doesn't line up with these claims. The first one, the important one, and the one that really upset the leaders is in John 5, after the Lord Jesus has healed this man who had no strength in himself. We'll start at verse 15. The man departed, the man who was healed, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They understood his statement, his claims, making himself equal with God. And in a way, these religious leaders were perhaps more consistent than some of us are today. If Jesus was just a carpenter, then this was indeed an outrageous statement. If he was the Son of God, then they had to listen to him. There was no middle ground. And on all these things that perhaps caused outrage to them, it's either acceptance of Jesus as who he claimed to be, as we have in these verses, the Son of God, or if he was a man, then this statement was an outrage. This is the basis of our salvation, that Jesus was the Son of God, the perfect one. Another claim he made then that caused offense. Jesus was, as you're turning to, perhaps we'll go to the 8th chapter next. There are those today that would claim that each one of us are children of God. We can each one of us develop into being a son of God, or some such claim, something similar to that. Another claim that Jesus made that refutes that also caused outrage in this 8th chapter of John's Gospel. We'll start reading at verse 54. There's been quite a lengthy controversy in this chapter, so we're just picking up at the end of it. They're speaking, these Jews who honored Abraham, they're speaking about him, and Jesus is answering here in verse 54, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. A statement as to Jesus' eternality. He was ever existing. This is not a statement that a carpenter, any man, no matter what his occupation, can make. This is a statement that only the Son of God can make. It's the way we have to hold him as the Son of God. Statement number 3, the power to forgive sin. Let's go to Luke's Gospel for this one. There are many things that Jesus claimed that could give offense to those that would not give him his place. Jesus in Luke chapter 5 has answered to the faith of men that had brought in a man sick of the palsy, and he's healed them. But he didn't just heal this man, didn't he? I think most of you know the story. We'll pick it up at verse 20. Jesus had not yet healed the man. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, go into thine house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, departed to his own house, glorifying God, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So perhaps not outrage in this audience, but statements that shook them when Jesus said, the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. No ordinary man can make this claim either. These claims can only be made by one. That's another problem with the world today. And Tim referred to people today in the gospel tonight. He referred to those that would say, you can make your own way. There's a conscience in man that knows he has a need. And because he would refuse to accept Jesus as the Son of God, because that is a way of, well, let's go ahead and be turning to John 14, verse 6, a very well-known verse for each of us. But it's a verse that, well, because of the audience Jesus gave this verse to, I'm taking liberties in including it. It didn't cause outrage to his disciples, did it? Of course not. But it causes outrage today amongst people that, as Tim was saying tonight, desire to choose their own way into their own paradise so that they can do their own thing. All about self. But Jesus made a claim here that causes controversy yet today. The world is all about tolerance and accepting others' ideas. But this verse doesn't allow that. Jesus made a claim, verse 6, a statement to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A very basic statement, but a claim that's disputed by the world yet today that makes no sense, really, if you follow that claim to its end. I mean, man's claim that you should be able to choose it your own way. We are the creature, aren't we? Our Creator has made us and designed us and has a path for us. Let's go on to a statement number 5 that Jesus made. That we start to get down to the question of life and death then. Life and death matters. First of all, Jesus' own life. In John 10, he made a claim about it that no man can make. No mere man, I should say, can make. When he's talking about himself being the good shepherd, talking about how he cares for the sheep, he made a statement in John 10, verse 18. Well, maybe we should start reading back in the 15th verse. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And here's the verse. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. An outrageous statement to them. They said, in essence, he's crazy. And if he was a man, just a man, this would be a crazy statement. No man has this power, especially to take up his life again. Jesus was speaking of his death and resurrection, a fact that I trust everyone in this room has accepted. He had the power. He laid down his life. He allowed man to put him on the cross, but Jesus was in control of the whole situation. Then the final matter of life and death, the last one I'm going to bring up is concerning life and death, our life individually, John 6. Read a little longer passage here. Well, maybe not. I'll just make a couple references to what we have here in John 6. I'd like to get to the seventh point. John 6, 47. First of all, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So we have salvation. And in the beginning of the chapter, we have the Passover mentioned. We have life through his death there, but we also have in this section Jesus presented as the manna coming that came down from heaven, his comparison in this. We'll go to the 57th verse. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. A statement that gave them a couple things to argue about, to complain about, if they would not accept him as God come down from heaven. That's one of them, that he came down from heaven, that he was from above, and that, of course, that the only way they could have life, sustaining life, was through consuming him, making Jesus appropriating that of the Lord Jesus for our life. We have a spirit, we have a something within us that's not satisfied with just the physical life here. To really have life, the eternal life is given at belief in him, but we also have to have that life sustained by a constant feeding upon the Lord Jesus, appropriating the things he said, trusting in him, and by a partaking of that life. There are hard sayings. It says that many were offended, not offended here, pretty much, but they did say in verse 60, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Jesus answered that with a statement, not only have I come down from heaven, but some of you will see the Son of Man ascending back up to heaven. A man sent from heaven and returned from heaven. Now, in view of those things, I'd like to get to my seventh point, because I trust all of you accept that. And you'll even accept my seventh one in John 13. But it has a resonance with me, at least, something that I still need to daily keep in mind. This is after the incidents of the Lord Jesus washing his disciples' feet. John chapter 13 and verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now again, these are the Lord's own, so this steps a little bit outside my initial statement of outrage. There was no outrage amongst his disciples. But if you consider that, a mere man wouldn't have a the right to gather a group of followers and cause them to address him as Lord and Master. It would be wrong to give another man a place like that. But if you've accepted all these other things about the Lord Jesus laying down his life, taking it again as proof that he had a right to the Father raising him up, and that our life is in him, and as we had tonight in the gospel, that verse of Romans 10:9, that we confess with our mouth Lord Jesus as Lord, as it's sometimes put, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the way of salvation. Jesus as Lord. Then is this claim real to you as well? Daily, is it real to you that Jesus is your Lord? I'll leave it to me. Jesus is my Lord and Master. And his example, is it my example for every decision I make? Is it consistent with my Lord and Master? This is the one that has been, of these statements, that is the most searching to me. In view of who Jesus is and who his claim and what his claims are that cause controversy then, and still some of them are controversial. Well, they all have provoke a reaction in those that refuse to accept Jesus as the Son of God. But for those of us that have accepted that, then this verse also follows. We're also one of his followers, as these disciples were. He's our Lord and Master. He's given us example, not just in the washing one another's feet, although that's a precious service, but in every way of his life, he's given us an example. Well, just a few thoughts that perhaps approach from a little different angle. But it became real to me as I thought about it. If anyone on the street, if you met someone, a stranger, and it's not the same because we already have the claims of the Lord Jesus, but if you could block that out and someone made claims like this today, how would you react to that? It would require it would require a lot of proof, wouldn't it? But the work of the Lord Jesus was consistent with everything he said. His claims as to being the Son of God were backed up by everything he said and did. And so if we follow through and are consistent on our own, then he has indeed the right to be our Lord and Master.